And so today, we're going to continue on in this series. And so we're going to go to the book of John, chapter 8, and we're just going to read one verse today, one statement that Jesus says. So I'm going to invite us all to stand to our feet just for the reading of God's word quickly, and then we're going to get right into it. And I love what God is doing in our church in this season, because God is bringing much abundance and much increase, and it's really exciting to see. But what I also love about this season is, like, leading up to Easter, man, there's such a big emphasis on who Jesus says he is. And that's so important, because many people are looking for hope. Many people are broken. Many people are lost. And we believe that Jesus is the answer to everybody's problems. He is the answer. Amen, somebody? Come on, some of y'all are here today. You know that. You know he's the answer to your problems. And if it wasn't for him, you would not be where you are right now. Amen, somebody. Come on. Come on, don't sit up there and act like you just made it here by yourself. It was because of Jesus. And so because of that, we want to tell as many people about that as possible. And so during this series, I want you to be intentional about inviting people to church so that way they can hear about the goodness of Jesus as well. So John chapter 8, verse 12. Here is what it says, just one verse. It says, Jesus spoke to them again. He was talking to the Pharisees who were challenging him. And he says, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. And anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So I want to preach from this theme of thought as we continue this series, I'm Him. This series talking about who Jesus says he is, because Jesus is superior above all things. That's why he's him. Somebody say he's him. He's him. He is him. If you want to put some slang to it, he him. He is the one. I want to preach from this theme and thought today. Calling today's sermon, Lessons from the Light. Lessons from the Light. Or if you want to use this as a sermon title, I was going to use this as a sermon title, but I was like, maybe it might be too much for our church, but I figured I'd just tell you what I was thinking about before I decided another way. I want you to look at the person beside you and ask them this question. Are you lit? Be careful with that. Find somebody else to ask, are you lit? Some of y'all are like, Pastor, you sure about that? That's why I didn't use that as a sermon title. I'm just letting you know. Are you lit? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and goodness. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for all you've done and just for who you are. We give you glory. We give you praise even now. Pray that you would speak to us. Give us wisdom. Give us clarity from your word. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. You can be seated. Lessons from the light. Are you lit? I want to ask us a question, church family. I need some crowd participation here, online as well. Have you ever walked around in the dark, maybe at home or in your place of residence, and found yourself bumping into things as you were walking around? Just by show of hands. How many of you have done that? Have you ever stepped on something while you were walking around in the dark? And when you stepped on something while you were walking in the dark, some thoughts began to fill your mind that were not of God. And some words maybe started to bubble up on the inside and possibly made their way out your mouth that were not of God. You begin to speak in earthly tongues, not spiritual, godly language, but the language of man in the flesh. Come on, tell the truth, shame the devil. How many of y'all have had that happen? Yep, Pastor, I dropped a few of them words when I stepped on that Lego. Tripped over a shoe. Something came up. I think all of us have had these moments maybe where we found ourselves in dark rooms or maybe in a dark house and you were trying to make your way through that place. And conventional wisdom, I think we all could agree that when you find yourself in a dark room, it is wise for you not to move fast in that room. Because the faster you move in the darkness, the more susceptible you are to a trip, to a fall, to a broken toe, to a concussion. You have to move slow in there. And you might be feeling your way around a little bit in there. I've had that happen many times, where I was walking around in the house in the dark, confident, oh, I know what this is. Like, oh, I know what this is. Only to discover that there was something else on my path that I did not anticipate. And I stepped on a toy. I tripped over a shoe. I stepped on a pencil. Something bad happened. I think all of us can identify with that. And what we see is that when you're walking in darkness, it is more difficult to move around and to walk around. And when I think about that, I think about Jesus' words here in John 8, when he says these words, that I am the light of the world. It's interesting because in this text, as we see everything that's going on, the backdrop of what's happening here in John chapter 8, verse 12, specifically, you got to go back to John chapter 7. Because here in John chapter 7, Jesus finds himself in this time of what is known during this time of the year for the Jewish people celebrating what's known as the feast or the festival of the tabernacle. And the reason why that's so significant is because at this feast, there were a number of lamps that were lit up within the temple area, more specifically within the temple courts in their day and time. Specific more to that was the courts of what was known as women. The women's courts were typically lit up more than any others in this time. But the significance of this feast or this festival, the celebration of the tabernacle, goes back to really something that happened in the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, when God delivered his people from Egyptian captivity, one of the things that he took them through was through this wilderness experience. Now, if you go back and you study the Old Testament, the wilderness experience, the way that he took them through was actually a longer route to go through than another route. In other words, God could have taken them a shorter route, but he decided in his wisdom and in his omniscience to take them through a longer route, to take them through a difficult route. And here's the reason why I believe he did that. Because even though they were out of Egypt, he still had to get Egypt out of them. There were still some things that needed to be perfected and tested. There were still some things that needed to get cleaned out of them. And whenever you look at the wilderness experience in Scripture, in the Old Testament, and then you even see Jesus go through this wilderness experience, not because there was something wrong with him, but it's a testing ground where the enemy was tempting him. And what happened was Jesus overcame that on our behalf. But when you go back to the Old Testament, God takes them through the temple, takes them through the wilderness. And part of what he did when he took them through the wilderness was they would travel not just by day, but at the nighttime as well. And the Scripture talks about this in Exodus, I believe around chapter 13. It says this, that they set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to lead them on their way during the day, and in a pillar of fire to give them light. Everybody say light. At night, so that they could travel day or night. Now, it's interesting because as we understand now the celebratory experience that's happening here in John 7, John 8 now as well, this feast, this festival of the tabernacles, what we already know now is that God took his people through the wilderness experience and he provided light for them in that dark place. And it's interesting because when you think about this word darkness and when you hear night and things of this nature, darkness is something that's mentioned all throughout the Scriptures. And theologians have this terminology called the law of first mentions, meaning this, that you always want to pay close attention to the first time something was mentioned in Scripture. So the question you want to ask is, when was darkness first mentioned in Scripture? And you got to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Because in the book of Genesis chapter 1, here's what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Verse 2, it says, now the earth was formless and empty and darkness. Everybody say darkness. Now you say darkness. Some of y'all don't get that reference. It's okay. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. It's interesting because even here in the beginning, we see something about darkness. And now, what does darkness speak to? This theme, this principle of darkness all throughout Scripture. Darkness oftentimes represents something or someone being devoid of the presence of God. Darkness speaks of being disconnected from God. It also takes on this theme of being spiritually blind. But then it also speaks to and speaks about how Satan, our adversary, is at work in people and also to enslave people through sin, through strongholds, and through systems. And one thing that we constantly see in Scripture is that there is a lot of darkness that is occupying people's lives. We see how oftentimes people are walking in darkness and how they're living in darkness. We see how people are oftentimes stumbling their way through life. And so in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, you see people in darkness, people abusing one another and people murdering each other and people taking advantage of each other, people rebelling against God's word and rebelling against God's will and rebelling against God's way. You see people caught up in even unjust systems and injustice, if you will, and they're experiencing the pain of that. And when I think about all of the stuff that happened in Scripture, I also think, man, that sounds awfully similar to today's time. That much of the darkness that people were experiencing back in biblical times, in many ways, we're still experiencing it today. We still see it today in this world. That we live in a world that is filled with all kinds of darkness on an institutional level, on a systematic level. You see all different types of forms of oppression. You see injustice. You see racism. You see human trafficking. You see all these different variations of darkness. You see darkness where people are in need in different ways, where people are being taken advantage of in different ways. You see systematic darkness. But then you also see personal darkness that people walk through. A sin that's maybe controlling people. Some dark thoughts of maybe harming yourself. Darkness in the form of wanting to get even because of what somebody did. Come on. All of us, if we're honest, have had our own personal dark experiences where we haven't been able to see our way through life, where we haven't been able to make sense out of things, where we haven't been able to have clarity, where we found ourselves tripping over temptation and tripping over people and tripping over different situations. All of us have found ourselves dealing with darkness in some way. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. All of us have had encounters with darkness. Matter of fact, here's what David says in Psalm 23, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that speaks of darkness. Which helps us to see that as we are in this journey of life, prior to coming to know Christ, and even after Christ, there will be some encounters that we have with darkness. Some of us have even fallen into the darkness and have done dark things and have said dark things and have gone down some dark places and have gone down some dark roads. And I say it like this, that a life full of darkness is often a life full of disaster. That when we find ourselves experiencing darkness or even being consumed by darkness or being controlled by darkness, it always leads to disaster. And when we look at our world, we see our world being controlled by darkness. When we have these interactions with people, we can see sometimes people being controlled by darkness. Even in our own selves, if we're personal, if we're honest about it, there's been times where we have been filled with darkness and we have been controlled by darkness. We have had dark thoughts. We have made dark decisions. We have found ourselves trapped in darkness. But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is this, that in spite of the darkness around us, and in spite of sometimes the darkness that is inherently in us apart from God, Jesus gives us hope. And he says these words, not just in John 8:12, but he says something in John 12:46. I'm going to go there. Here's what he says. I have come into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. I'm going to read it one more time. John 12:46. Come on. I need y'all to pull it up on the screen for me really quick because I want everybody to get it. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. Here's what he means. That prior to you believing in me, you are in darkness. Prior to you trusting in me, you are in darkness. When you live your life outside of me, you are in darkness. When you disconnect from me, you are in darkness. When you drift and want to do your own thing, that leads to a dark place and a dark path. But the good news of Jesus is he finds us in the darkness. He comes to us in the darkness. He rescues us from the darkness. He redeems us from the darkness. Thank God that he's not allergic to the darkness, but he finds us in the darkness. He says, I've come into the world for this very reason. To this place that's dark, to find people who are in darkness. In other words, Jesus specializes in showing up in dark places to dark people who find themselves dealing with dark situations and making dark decisions. Do you see how much darkness is here? But by the grace of God, he shows up and he presents himself and he steps in, whether it's darkness in sin, darkness in depression, darkness with suicidal thoughts, darkness with wanting to give up, darkness in despair. The grace of God shows up in his greatest times of darkness. Thank God that he shows up in our dark times. And I believe if you're honest here today, some of you are here today, and you could be honest, and you could say, Pastor Edwin, there's been times in my life where I did not know how I was going to make it out of that dark time. I found myself depressed. I found myself wanting to end my life. I found myself having suicidal thoughts. I found myself dealing with all these different things, and I saw no way forward. But you are here to testify and could be honest and shout and celebrate and praise and whatever you want to do to say, had it not been for the Lord on my side, I would have stayed in the darkness. Had God not showed up, I would have stayed in the darkness. The only reason you made it through depression was because of Jesus. The only way you overcame that addiction was because of Jesus. The only way that you came out of the dark place that you were in was because of Jesus. And I just want to know, can we take a few moments and praise God for the fact that he redeemed us, that he showed up, that he ministered to us, that he made ways out of no ways, that he was there even when I was in the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus showed up. And I can count on every single finger on my hand and every single toe on my feet. After every single time where I find myself in a discouraging place and in a dark place, Jesus always, he didn't just show up, he pulled up. He pulls up to dark people who are dealing with dark times. He pulls up to people who are depressed. He pulls up to people who find themselves riddled with anxiety and stress. He pulls up to people who find themselves in darkness. That's why he came. He says, I came to get you. You've been trying to snatch yourself out of darkness. You can't do it. Only he can. You've been trying to redeem yourself. You can't do it. Only he can. He specializes in showing up. And so now when he says these words, I am the light of the world. And I told y'all last week, these first two words of that phrase and that statement, I am, everybody say, I am. They got significant meaning when you go back to the Old Testament, because I am represents the covenantal name of God that God gave his people in the Old Testament to refer to him as. Yahweh, if you will. So when Jesus starts to say these things like, I am the light of the world, what he is revealing and showing is that I was present in Moses' time, and now I have pulled up to you in a new time and in a new way. How do we know this to be true? Because remember, John says it like this in John 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word, verse 14 says, and it became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is this Word? It's talking about Jesus. So Jesus was there in the beginning when things were dark, and he said, let there be light. Jesus was there with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit when they said, let us make man in our likeness and in our image. Jesus says, I've been here all along. I'm him. He majors in doing this. So when he says, I am, what he's helping us to see is that he's always been this. He is who he is. And I told you last week, family, that when he told Moses, tell him I am sent you. And Moses might have had some questions in his mind. I am who else? Can you put a last name to that or something? The principle there is, I am everything that you need me to be. If you need comfort, I am that. If you need peace, I am that. If you need provision, I am that. If you need healing, I am that. If you need power, I am that. If you need a friend, I am that. Jesus is everything that we need. He is that. And now he says, because I am all things that you need me to be, I want you to see that I'm also light for you. When you find yourself dealing with darkness. And it's interesting, family, because before you get to John chapter 8, verse 12, you see what happens in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Because he's having this encounter with the Pharisees who are always trying to trip him up. Always trying to set him up. In today's vernacular, they're the ops. Y'all got some ops in your lives? Some of y'all are like, what is an op? An op is like somebody who opposes you, you know, all that. Op, you know, opposition, you get it, right? The Pharisees were just constant ops against Jesus, always trying to trip him up, always trying to mess him up, always trying to get him to sin and get him to disprove who he was. And so there's this scene happening in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, where the Pharisees and some teachers of the law, they bring this woman to Jesus who was caught in the act of adultery. Caught. Caught. Well, if she was caught, where is the other person? Because the scripture says that they only brought her. But according to their custom and God's law, they were supposed to bring both people. Now, if I really wanted to mess with this and really wanted to do a deep dive in there, I wonder if the other person was there who actually was participating in bringing her to Jesus. Come back on Wednesday. I'll talk more about that. That's not part of my sermon, though. But they bring her to Jesus, and they say, she's supposed to be stoned because she was caught in the act of adultery. That's what the law says. But the problem is, if Jesus says, stone her, well, then now they can trip him up and go to the Roman government because Roman says, because the people were under Roman government authority, Jews cannot execute their own execution orders in that time. They can't do that. It's against Roman law. So if he says, stone her, he's breaking Roman law. But if he says, don't stone her, well, now he's breaking God's law. So now they're like, oh, we got Jesus now. We got him. But it's interesting because Jesus, the Bible says, begins to write in the sand and in the dirt. And theologians have been asking for years and centuries, what did he write in the dirt? Some people say that he wrote the other people's sins. Some people say that he wrote people's names. Nobody really knows what he wrote. But whatever it is that he wrote, after he said that he was without sin, cast the first stone, and the people had stones ready, the Bible says when he wrote this in the sand and he says these words, the Bible says one by one, they begin to leave and drop their stones. So whatever it is that he wrote, he had receipts. I mean, they were ready to stone her. And then they walked away. What was it that Jesus wrote? But it's interesting. Because the story didn't stop there. If you keep on reading, I want you to go read it this week, John 8, 1 through 11. The Bible says, one by one, they left, starting with the oldest. That's interesting. Because if he did write about their own past in the sand, I don't know. The oldest there, clearly, you got history. I don't know what he's doing. But one by one, they walked away. And here's what the Bible says. He says to her, around verse 10, verse 11, woman, is there nobody here to condemn you? She says, no, nobody's here. He says, neither do I condemn you. Now, remember, he said, let who is without sin cast the first stone. If there was anybody there who could have threw a stone, it would have been him. He did not give her what she deserved. That's called mercy. Thank God for his mercy. He didn't give her condemnation. He gave her compassion. That's called grace. He gave her something that she did not deserve. Grace and mercy are present. And all of us in here, in person and online, have been the recipients of God's grace and have been the recipients of God's mercy, where God has done things for you that you did not deserve and where God withheld some things from you that you showed not deserve. Thank God for his grace and mercy. Because I should have caught that rock. And all of us have been like that woman. That might not have been your sin, but there was something else. All of us. Come on, everybody say all of us. All of us. Some of us are just better at hiding than others, but all of us. Come on, y'all ain't going to talk to me. 9 o'clock service was quiet, too. Y'all ain't going to talk to me today. But here's what happens at the end of that. He says, nobody's here to condemn you. She says, no. He says, neither am I. Go and leave your life of sin. Sin no more. It's interesting. Now, why do I say it's interesting? Because remember where Jesus is when he's saying all this and when this whole thing is happening. This is more than theologians have argued and make great arguments to say that this the scene and the place where they're having this conversation is in what was known as the court of women, where the light was. And it's interesting because this woman who found herself in darkness, trapped up in a dark system, being taken advantage of, he brings light to this situation. So here it is. He's bringing light to a woman in the court known as the court of women that is giving off all this light. Why am I saying that? Because what he's doing is he's bringing forth a situation and using a situation to set up a revelation. So the situation is this woman was caught in darkness, but now he brings light to her, forgiveness, grace, mercy, love. And then now he says in John 8 and 12, I am the light of the world. It's almost as if he's saying, what you just saw me do, the reason why I can do that is because I am that. This is what I do. This is who I am. I'm him. I just love saying that because I feel like, man, I would have loved to see Jesus when he's saying this to the Pharisees because they are losing their minds. I'm him. I am that guy. I'm the light of the world. That's what he's saying. And it's crazy, y'all, because here's what he teaches us. I want you to write this down. What he's teaching us when he says this statement, I am the light of the world, is he's helping us to see the source of the light. Everybody say the source. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is Jesus is helping us to see that in him is the light. He is the light. He is not a resource. He is not another source. He is the source. He does not reflect the light. He is the light. I love that because that's different than us talking about a light bulb. A light bulb is not the source. It is just the resource. I'm the very thing, he's saying, that's behind that. Without me, this doesn't work. Just as the sun physically gives off light to this earth and to this world, he says, I do the same thing for people who are in darkness. He's the light. He's the source. And it's interesting because as we look at this all throughout Scripture, this theme of light, just like we looked at darkness, how darkness represents being separated from God or being distant from God, light in the Scripture represents life, and it represents the knowledge of God and holiness. And what Jesus is helping us to see is that light does not come from any other place. Or in other words, life don't come from any other place. He says, you got to come to me for that. He says, I'm the light of the world. And in the Bible, as I mentioned earlier, there is this constant theme of light and darkness. So when you go back to Genesis chapter 1, let's read it again. It says this, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. If I was teaching a Bible study there, I would say a great place for you to start your life is with God. In the beginning, God. If he ain't there, nothing else is going to work. You want to start your marriage off right? Start it with God. You want to sustain your marriage right? Have it with God. Everything should start with him because he's the source. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was an evening, and there was a morning one day. I love what the Bible says. Then God said, let there be light. How can he say that? Because he is the light. In other words, God's desire has always been to bring light to dark places. His desire has always been to free people who are in darkness, to bring hope to people who are hopeless. Look at the scripture in Genesis 1. It says the world and the earth was empty. It was formless. It was dark apart from God. The principle I think the writer there is teaching us, and that Jesus is teaching us as well here in John 8, is that apart from God, our lives are dark. They're hopeless. And many of us in here who are followers of Christ, you became a Christian at some point in your life, if you look back over your life, you can see that the contrast is there, darkness and light. You know what your life looked like prior to Jesus stepping into your life. How your life was filled with despair, how you were in sin, how you were suffering to strongholds, how you were being controlled by different things of the enemy. But then Jesus stepped in, and he brought light, and he brought direction, and he brought clarity, and he brought hope. Come on. God has done a great thing in your life when you said yes to him, and you let him step in. He brought light. So the principle that we see in Scripture is that apart from Jesus, our life is dark. Apart from Jesus, my career is going to be dark. Apart from Jesus, your relationships are going to be dark. Here's what I mean by that. It will not flourish and function the way that he designed it to. Your life, my life, will never be what God intends it to be as long as you and I are disconnected from him. And even for those of us who have said yes to Christ and we become Christians and we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, we receive him as Lord. Here's the thing that I want you to realize, that following Jesus is not a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's a daily thing. And when you and I want to get off track and begin to get distracted by the things of the enemy and we begin to lose sight, we begin to go down these dark places. Every single time in my own life personally where I have found myself going down a dark place, it's because I veered off and lost sight of Jesus. But what he's saying is, hey, stay in the light. I've come to bring you light. I've come to bring you life. I'm the source of it, he says. That in me, you have it. Apart from me, you don't. And the good news of this is, family, if you find yourself in a dark time in your life right now, online, in person, the good news is this. Jesus, the source of light, is available. Y'all remember that old school commercial for hotels? I can't remember what hotel commercial it was, but it was like, we'll always leave the light on. The Motel 6. We'll leave the light on for you. Well, I got good news. Motel 6's light eventually goes out. But the light of Jesus never does. And you ain't got to have a certain amount of money to be able to tap into that light. He says, if you find yourself in a dark place, come to him. He's the source. Why? Because when life is at its darkest, the light of Jesus shines the brightest. And some of you right now, you're in a dark place right now, and it's dark. You're having your problem. You're having difficulty making your way through it. It's like, I can't see past this decision. I can't see past what's going to happen next week. I can't see past this diagnosis. I can't see past what just happened this week at school with my friends. I'm having problems making my way through this. I'm going to encourage you to let you know that Jesus says, hey, I got light for you. You don't got to go through this thing in darkness. You got to walk through this by yourself. And I believe that many of us, you've been trying to walk through life without Jesus. You've been trying to walk through life doing your own thing. Fam, you're going to break a toe. You're going to trip. You're going to fall short. But man, when you got Jesus, it doesn't mean that difficulty won't come. But it means that you got a light that's guiding you, which now leads to my second point. Not just the source of the light, but he shows us the significance of the light. So notice what Jesus says. Anyone who follows me, which means this is for everybody, y'all. Anybody. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, no matter what your color is, no matter what your background is, no matter how much money you make, no matter how much money you don't make, this light is for everybody, which is why we say our church is for everybody. Because heaven is available for all types of people to tap into. The gospel is for everybody to receive. The good news of Jesus is for everybody to be able to receive. He don't put a premium on it. He doesn't say that if you're a certain color, you can't receive this. That if you're a certain age, you can't receive this. No, Jesus came for everybody. And he says, anyone who follows me won't walk in darkness. The qualifier for that as well is anybody who's walking in darkness, this is for you. Anybody who finds themselves in darkness, this is for you. That's the good news. And the significance of this, he says this, anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness. So if you find yourself in dark places right now, Jesus says this, I came to light up your life. Which is why I said earlier, are you lit? Now some of your minds may have went to a whole other place. I'm not talking about this earthly type of lit. I'm talking about this eternal type of lit. Because you can get earthly lit and you still not be fulfilled and you still not be satisfied. Jesus says, when you come to me, I satisfy you, I fulfill you. That's what he's getting at. One of the things that happened in the Old Testament as the people were walking through dark paths and dark wilderness experiences, things of that nature, the Bible will talk about how the people would have light around their feet to light up their path. And it's interesting because the scripture says this in Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Which speaks to this kind of subpoint that I want to give us when it comes to the significance of the light. Jesus steps into our life to show us the path for us to walk on. He came to light up the way for us, to show us how we should live, to show us how we should treat people, to show us how we should honor God, to show us what a life submitted to God ultimately looks like. Psalm 119 says that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's interesting because when I think about that, my mind just always goes to Jesus. Let me give us a quick little Bible study tip. Whenever you're looking at scripture, you always want to look at it through the lens of Jesus. Because all of scripture points to Jesus. Why? Because he's him. He says it in John 5. You pour out all of this time over scriptures thinking that it'll give you eternal life, not realizing that the scriptures testify to me. That's a gangster statement to say. He says, all the scripture's about me, fam. Y'all ain't here getting it twisted. It's about me. That's what he's saying. I'm him. I'm the one you've been looking for all these years. I'm the prophesied Messiah. That's what he's talking about. So when I think about that, I think about Psalm 119:105. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Man, my mind goes back to John 1 because the Bible says what? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when I look at Psalm 119, it talks about, and your word will be a lamp unto my feet. I can't help but to think, man, isn't that a picture of Jesus? That he is the word incarnate who has come to light up my path. And he's come to show us how to live, where to go, how to function. Family, if you are struggling trying to make decisions on a day-in, day-out basis, can I ask you a question? Have you included the light into that? Should I date this person? Have you talked to Jesus about that yet? Should I marry this person? You talked to Jesus? Should I take this job? Have you talked to Jesus? Just because it's good doesn't mean it's God. Should I move to this state? Have you talked to Jesus, the light, about that? Have you ever been in trying to make a decision and you felt like you were in a fog? You felt like you were in darkness? You felt like you couldn't see past that? Those are invitations for us to bring in the light, to tap into Jesus. I don't believe God's will is for us to stress out when it comes to making decisions every day. I believe that oftentimes reveals that maybe we have not invited him into that place yet. Maybe we're trying to do things on our own, and that's why we're stumbling into something. Don't it look crazy when you walk into your house, into your apartment, and you bumping all in the stuff? Huh? Had to do that real carefully, make sure I ain't trip right there. Make sure I ain't trip. But he says, do you want to live your life like that? That's not this abundant life. He wants to show us the path. Now check this out. It's not a perfect path. It's not always a smooth path. Because sometimes the enemy will convince us that following Jesus means everything is going to be smooth and the terrain is always going to be smooth and that we're never going to have any bumps in the road. That's not true. Jesus says it like this in John 16, in this life you'll have much trouble, but take joy, I've overcome the world. So following the path of Jesus and doing it his way doesn't always mean that it's going to be easy, but it's always going to be worth it. So I'm following Jesus, and 1 Thessalonians talks about what it means to be children of the light. Here's what it says, for we are all children of the light, children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then, let us not sleep like the rest, but let us stay awake and be self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled and put on the armor of faith and love and a helmet of the hope of salvation. Because Jesus came to give life and to show the way of life. I don't know about y'all family, but the times where my life has been the most jacked up the most was when I wanted to do my own thing. Oh, I'm good. I don't need no light. I don't need no help. I got this, Jesus. and you fall flat on your face. Am I alone or am I in good company? Yeah, I don't mess that up. And here's what's crazy. Because God is so good, he's oftentimes giving us promptings. Hey, don't do that. Come on, y'all gonna be real with me? Don't go that way. That's how the Holy Spirit taught me. Hey, don't do that. Don't even say it. Don't say it, no. Don't say it. There's been times, I told Eric this, there's been times where I feel like, you know, I want to say something out of my mouth that is not godly, not wholesome, edifying. Don't mean I'm like going to snap. It just is like, it's no love in that. But then I feel like there's sometimes where the Holy Spirit will put a muzzle on my mouth. Where he's like, I'm going to arrest your mouth. Hannibal Lecter like this. That's the whole vein like this. Don't you say a word, boy. Y'all ever been in a moment like that? Because you're going to be in some moments like that this week where you're going to find yourself in some situations where you're going to want to say something out of your mouth that you know was sideways, but they deserve it and they might, but it doesn't make it right. Hush. He's showing us the path. You're going to want to get even with people. That's not it. You're going to want to harbor resentment towards them. That's not it. Be bitter towards people. That's not it. You're going to want to compromise your integrity and your character. You're going to be tempted to indulge in some activity. You're going to be tempted to get lit this week. We about to get litty. You're going to be tempted. He says, that's not it. That's not my path. That leads to darkness and despair. You know how that ends. Says, I've come to give you a better way, give you a better path. So his light shows us the path for us to walk on, but it also shows us the purpose for us to live out. So his light shows a path, and it also shows a purpose. So he says here in Matthew, in John 8:12, that I'm the light of the world, that anyone who comes to me, follows me, will never walk in the darkness, but they will have the light of life. And what are we supposed to do with this light of life? We're supposed to reflect it. You see that in Scripture constantly. Because the light isn't just for us. It's also meant for us to share with others. So Jesus says this in Matthew 5 to the disciples. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. It's crazy how Jesus says here in John 8, I'm the light. But here in Matthew 5, he then tells the disciples, now you're the light. What is he helping us understand here? That I've given you this light that belongs to me. But now, here on earth, your life is meant to be a light that points back to me. So when people are trying to figure out where is God in the midst of his darkness, you can confidently say, he's here through his people. His people are meant to be these light reflectors. So he invites us, family, to receive his light. He also invites us to reflect his light. The light is not just meant for us. It's meant to also shine through us. When you think about the moon and the sun, the moon doesn't have light in and of itself. It actually reflects the light of the sun. It's not the source. But it shines. It's bright. Jesus says, such is the same with your life. Just as the moon has the natural sun to cast light on it, your life now has the light of the eternal sun, which is him. And you're meant to reflect it. And how do we do that? We do that through our good deeds. We do that through serving people. We do that through loving people. We do that through being patient with people. This happened to me this week. It blew my mind this past Thursday. I remember I was going out to get something to eat. I normally don't even eat lunch. I usually just kind of drink a smoothie or something like that. And so I went to go get something from Meze. How many of my Meze lovers in here? Y'all got any Meze? Meze Mediterranean food? Some of y'all don't know nothing about that. You just need to go there in Jesus' name. You're missing the bread of life right there. The bread just seems like that's the bread that Jesus used to feed 5,000 people. Blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it out. Yeah. But I was there, and I was ordering my food, and it was a guy that was in front of me, and he was at the register getting ready to pay for his food, and I was behind him getting ready to pay for mine. And as the lady was asking if there was anything else he needed, he looked at me. He said, "Hey, man, I got your lunch. It's on me." I was like, "Ooh." He's like, "I got you." I was like, "Man, for real? Like, paying for lunch? I don't even know, dude. Never met him a day in my life. Have no idea who he is." But he just randomly, we talk about abundance, y'all. This is the type of stuff that God does. I'm telling you. You don't expect it. This is what God does. And I'm in line, and I'm like, "Man, thank you so much. I appreciate it, man. At least tell me your name." And in this moment, I'm like, "Man, can I do something for him? Can I can't buy him lunch. That would be great. Hey, you bought my lunch, I'm gonna buy yours. Like, that's just weird, right?" But I felt compelled to do something for him because of the kindness that he has shown to me. And I just got his name, and he told me what his name was. And here's what he told me. He said, "Hey, man, you're welcome. Spread love." You know what he was saying? Do for others as what was just done for you. Shine light as you've received the light. And that might be in the form of you being a blessing to somebody and buying somebody's meal. It might be in the form of you inviting somebody to church. It might be in the form of you praying for somebody. It might be in the form of you paying for somebody's mortgage this month or paying for somebody's rent this month. It might be you just being generous with your words. I don't know what it is, but God has called us to let our light shine so that people will see our good deeds and praise him in heaven. The light that he's given us is meant to be reflected through us. So the question I want to ask you is, are you lit? Because the lessons from the light, and the light is Jesus, is this. We got a purpose. And we don't put this light under a bowl as Jesus says in Matthew 5. No, we put it in a position so everybody can see it. And what I want to invite us to do as a church family is to be people of the light. Where we are generous, where we love people, and we serve people. Ephesians 2:10 says it like this: "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared for us in advance for us to do." So in other words, God created you on purpose for a purpose. And you know what that purpose was? It was not just to come here on a Sunday morning and receive worship. No, it was called for us and created, called for us and purposed in our lives for us to go make a difference in this community around us and tell people about Jesus and introduce people to Jesus and love people like Jesus and lead people like Jesus. That's what he's called us to do, to serve people. So that's serving in our church. Some of you guys have been coming to our church for a while. It's time for you to get in the game. Time for you to shine your light, because you got an incredible light and you're putting it under a bowl. God says, "No, it's time. Let the light shine so that others may see him." That's why we have all these different opportunities for you to serve in our church. This is why right after service, we got step 3, the growth track, where we talk about how you can get plugged in. But God is calling all of us to serve and all of us to make a difference and all of us to invite people to come to know Christ. And here's what I know. All of us have been on the receiving end of something that was of light. Somebody bless you. Somebody encourage you. Somebody helped you. Somebody served you. It's on us now to do the same. To pay it forward. I want to say this in closing, that Jesus doesn't only provide the light. He is the light. And because he is the light, he calls us to reflect the light. He calls us to share this light. God is calling some of you out of this place of darkness for those of us who have not said yes to him. Or maybe you've gotten off track. And I think that happens to all of us at some point. But the good news is the light has a way of finding you. Jesus meets you in your darkness. Finds you in your darkness. I want to invite us all to stand to our feet in this moment. I believe today is a message of invitation to not just come into the light and receive the light, but to reflect that light. I believe that Jesus is calling us to be people who are lit. People who say, I'm not going to stand by and watch injustice happen. People who say, God has gifted me with abilities and talents. I'm going to use them to glorify him and to edify people. But more importantly, he's offered this light to transform our lives. Some of you are here today and you've never received the light. You're in darkness right now. What I mean by that is you've never said yes to Christ. And he says, any person, if you're apart from me, you don't have it. And I just want to ask, are you tired of walking in darkness? Trying to figure it out yourself? Today that can end by simply you just coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I want this light. I want to receive your light. So I'm going to ask this with heads bowed and eyes closed in this moment. If you're online, if you're in this place, saying, Pastor Edwin, I've been in darkness for too long. I've been walking in darkness, walking in despair. Today I say I want to give my life to Christ. If that's you, saying today you want to say yes to Jesus, you want to give him your life, you want to receive his light, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Jesus, be my light and my salvation. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? Thank you for loving me. Thank you for finding me. Thank you for saving me. In your name I pray. And every person said amen.